Alright, time for a DoNotGod.com video presentation. Just me talking. Alright, so I already made this video, so I'm going to be making it again. I accidentally deleted it, trying to make sure I saved it before Linux screwed it up. And, you know, so anyway, shit happens, as they say. So it is disappointing. It's, you know, I already sent all this crap. So I have to say some other kind of crap. So the crappy subject was that life's an imposition, and I would argue it's a cruel imposition, but you could argue, oh, it's just a arrogant, imposition, or it's a reckless imposition, or it's an ignorant imposition, but the imposition part is kind of guaranteed. In the sense that, yeah, I mean, it's your judgment. You say, this will be good for you. You know, I know what's best. It's just that kind of thing. It is imposing to create a human being and force them to live in your little cruddy nest and, eat your food and smell your shit and whatnot. It's just really, you could argue, rude. it's a rude imposition. All impositions sort of have to be negative, right? Is there really any way to make an imposition not a negative thing? You could say drug therapy or something. I mean, you could impose rehab on somebody and, argue that you're doing them a favor. So some things, I suppose, could be impositions that aren't negative because you... But they're all got that taint to them of just being trespasses, frankly. Imposition sounds like a trespass. Sounds like you taking territory that ain't yours. You touching stuff that ain't yours to touch or to play with. So I'd argue that, it's a pretty easy argument to have. So... the context of the video was going to be, okay, well, what if you had to debate this subject? Is there really anything to debate? And where do you start and finish? But the bigger context is there any point in having the debate with somebody capable of having the debate, so to speak? Because most of the people having kids really aren't even capable because they haven't even thought about it. All the questions they haven't posed to themselves. What do I do if my kid gets cancer? What do I do if, how do I ensure that they're going to be protected from the cruel world? How do I make it up to them if I do end up giving them a life that sucks and tortures them? What do I do to fix that exactly? How do I? There's no undo button. Taking some responsibility, the fact that it is a powerfully dangerous thing you're imposing, which might be torture. Really bad, horrible, unpleasant experience that you haven't the courage to face and that you haven't yet had to face, let's say, in most cases. Some people are just so goddamn stupid. I mean, sorry. It's my sister and I hate to be insulting. Goddamn it. She had cancer, survived, and then had a kid. But she was a religious nut. How can somebody do this and be, it's like this people who are suicidal and then they have kids, they have a angsty suicidal, maturation there between 15 and 25. They, nothing's going right. And then all of a sudden they decide to have a kid. What the fuck are they thinking? So they're not thinking is the real point. And obviously people who aren't thinking probably aren't watching this video. because I'm not rich and famous, and I'm not very important, and I'm not very charismatic, and I'm not very all the bullshit you're supposed to be. And so they're not all twittering, you know, how you the must-see video. That ain't happening. So, you know, the people who need to hear it are the people not hearing it. That's sort of the way it works, I guess. Too much of life is like that. It's just so much stuff to go through. So anyway, just the idea of why, you know, people having to just answer a few questions before they have kids, and just, you know, in this context of, well, don't you think it is kind of rude for you to just tell somebody that dying is okay when you haven't done it yet? You know, that's okay. It's not going to be a tragically horrible thing. It's not going to ruin your whole life. No, it'll go just fine. You haven't done it. You haven't faced it. Now, you might have seen enough of it to be, you know, you'd think scared to death. I mean, how much of it do you have to see to not be, holy shit, I hope that doesn't happen to me? And is that all people run on, is hope? I'm hoping. I feel lucky. Is that it? Is that all there is? I mean, there is a real possibility, you know, when you're rolling the kid, having a kid dice, that your kid will have the worst life ever. You know, like the worst, most torturous, unpleasant existence ever. You know, it's on the dice. It's a possibility. It can be rolled. What the fuck? There's some good reason that overwhelms recognizing that you don't want to be shoving that ticket, you know, that lottery ticket in your kid's pocket. And you just think about all the tickets you're shoving in the pocket, all the possibilities, you know, drug addict, alcoholic, fat, abusive, you know, beats his wife, all the tickets of, you know, realistic possibility. And not all of them have one in a million odds. You know, a lot of them have 50-50 odds. And some of them, you know, there's a real good chance that your kid's going to win the shit lottery. And, you know, there's a real, you know, a real good chance they're going to be at least just average. Ooh. Is that, you know, is that your huge ambition? I can't wait to have an average child that grows into an average wave slave, entertainment slave human. You know, just going, squeaking by, you know, trivial pleasures, little stupid moments of ha-ha fun, and the rest is, you know, drudgery and work. You know, you fix the leaky roof, and then you have the flooded basement, or you have the termites, or you have the, you know, it's just always something. Problem, just jumping from problem to problem to problem to problem, and gaining a tiny bit of gratification when once in a while a problem goes away. Is solved, you know, just to wait for the next one. All to end up with the biggest problem of all, getting old and falling apart and losing, you know, everything. You know, everything important. Losing your little pets, losing your parents, losing your siblings, losing, and then losing you. yuck. And that's if you're the lucky one. You know, the unlucky one, well, yeah, you don't lose anything because you lose first. Yuck. So, so I was just thinking about, okay, I can just contrive a debate, right? And so what am I debating? So I guess the first argument would be is, you know, it is an imposition, and I would argue that it's cruel, if not stupid. So it's either one of those two things. You're either a glib motherfucking cunt, or, okay, you're really stupid and just haven't given it any thought, because there's no way to evade the fact of the imposition and the dangerous, the risk that's involved. There's a huge downside risk. That it really is shoving a kid on a tightrope over a bunch of swords, you know, with a bunch of swords hanging from above. There's no, you know, there's all kinds of traps and all kinds of ways to fail. And that's the truth of it. And not too many humans get through their life free and easy. Just don't happen that way. Even people who are successful sometimes have to work very, very hard to be successful and end up burned out anyway. Can't even enjoy it. It's like that Apple guy, right? I mean, you know, he founds this big company, has all this stuff, and then he gets pancreatic cancer. I mean, shit. What fun. Yeah. Win and then lose just as much as you can possibly lose. Just it's the wrong way, right? I mean, it really should work the other way, you know, that you end winning, not that you end losing everything. So there's no happily ever after, there's dead ever after. That's what you're sentencing the kid to. So that seems pretty imposing. But just the idea that you think your kid will like you, like your lifestyle, find something to identify with in your lifestyle, that somehow, you know, any of that makes any sense to you, that you think it's going to work that way, when there's every likelihood it's going to work exactly the opposite way. And, you're going to feel kind of stupid. You know, because the monster you create isn't going to be the monster you were hoping for. And it's just a fact. You can see it in people. You see it happening all the time where, you know, the parents went in hoping for this and they ended up with that. Okay. And, they've got to be feeling a little bit, not just disappointed, but guilty that, you know, they dropped the ball because their kid's an asshole. And they know it. You see it. It's bad enough. It's so uncivilized to have, you know, kids recklessly. But to have, when the people who have just, they start off just having a bastard. They don't even try to do it right. You know, they do it so wrong. And they can't even make that much effort to say, I'll give my kid a proper father. Even that doesn't occur to them? I mean, those parts are just amazing. Let's have a kid when, you know, we have a dysfunctional relationship. Yeah. No. I mean, come on. But that's, you know, that's the reality. The reality is most kids are born to people, you know, who you'd argue, okay, it's not malicious or cruel. It's really stupid, okay? They didn't give it any thought. They didn't think about it at all, blah, blah, blah. And then the rest of them are just these obsessive people that just, you don't even know what's their ambition, what they're trying to prove. On the male side, I mean, you do see once in a while, I see these guys pushing a stroller down the street, and it just shrivels me right up. Like, you know, that's, I'd rather go to prison, frankly. You just can't imagine a more pitiful fate for your existence, you know, than being a servant to a poo machine. What the fuck? It's so pitiful. And then the dopey women who just want something to play with, frankly. They want something to distract them from taking any responsibility for, being intelligent or a thinking being. They want it just to, they want simple little pooey tasks. And they think that's all it takes to raise a kid is simple little poo tasks. And no, it takes more than that. Well, I think a lot more in terms of being able to deal with this balancing act of, keeping your kid, not too much reality, but enough reality to make them into somebody who has some character and does some real thinking, without it just being very negative in terms of, the truth hurts, and the truth is we're just bugs. And most of the things we're doing are just gnawing on wood. We're just we're just chewing. There's just nothing impressive in our function. The singing and the dancing isn't that good. We're just not doing much with this extra intelligence, except scheming for silly little gratifications, silly little accomplishments. I can get a thicker layer of wax on my car, or the motorcycle nuts. I can make it louder and louder. I can do a wheelie down a residential street. So pathetic. This is their ambition, is, these little show-offs, these little tattoo. I got a tattoo, I'm cool. Come on, this is so pathetic. And these are the people, contriving some excuse to say, I think it's in the best interest for people to be created so they can live, lives where they, go to the football game and cheer for the home team. Oh, God. It's like shit. So anyway. So I did go over all that in a half hour's worth in the first video that I deleted. And so it was much better than this, but I'll take a break. See, because it's like making the video sort of depressed me. And so now I just don't have much enthusiasm. But anyway, it's been a problem for a while, the lack of enthusiasm. Yuck. See if I can get my mouse to work. Yeah, that's working. Okay. Pause. All right, so I was thinking about the fact that, we can simulate so much now and, synthesize and the whole AI thing and all that kind of crap. And, probably some of that technology should be devoted to showing people, what the laws of averages sort of say about what their kid is going to be. Like you can do a profile of the person and apply the statistical realities, the genetic realities, and roll the dice for them, a few times, and say, are you really, you really want to make this mess? Show them a life that they're going to make. And have it really connected to some sort of real thing, in terms of the real statistics and the whatnot. And, give them some appreciation about how hard it is to actually get lucky in all these respects, I mean, what are the odds? Are the odds that your kid's going to be better, is going to be better looking than you? Are the odds it's going to be less good looking? So if you're good looking, it's obviously going to be less good looking. And if you're not very good looking, well, then your odds of having a good looking kid are even less. So now you're really in trouble. And how much of that would bother you? I mean, if your kid was uglier than you are, Okay, just by some kind of standard, you know, bigger nose, whatever, some kind of crooked eye, some kind of bullshit, just some sort of thing that just not good features, not attractive. How would you feel about that? You know, or if you're thin and your kid was fat, how would you feel about that? You know, what would you do about that? You know, would you actually be aggressive and trying to force them to be thinner? You know, how much responsibility for it would you take, and how far would you push? Would you force your kid to play the violin? I might, you know, just because the odds are if they play the violin, you know, they're likely to be more cultured and sophisticated just by probability. Just a fact, you know, it just turns out that way. It's hard to be a slob and be a violin player. You know, just little statistics like that, your little correlations. Would you force them to be left-handed? Because, you know, there's certain advantages in IQ-wise, different things, where left-handers are, you know, have those advantages. Tend to be. And yeah, you know, I mean, all these little bullshit things, and it's just, but they're all not bullshit because it has a real impact on your probability of getting through your life, well or not well. Playing the violin has probably a higher suicide rate, so you know, it comes with its downsides too, and that's the whole catch, is how do you control any of that? Too stupid, too smart. These are all dangerous things. And what gives you any kind of notion in your head that you have any skill or capacity to navigate that tricky balance of psychology when, you know, I could probably fairly argue that you have your own psychological bullshit, that you're controlled by things, you know, that you're a mama's boy or you're something, you've got some sort of psycho issues, you know. Some sort of problems, performance issues, and all kinds of whatever, that you got your own problems that you haven't been able to solve. You know, how are you going to solve them for your kid? You know, just this ridiculous. Like I said, and then, you know, the worst is that the people testifying how it's perfectly okay to impose death. And that's what it is, it's imposing death. And these are all people who are saying it's okay to impose death who haven't died. You know, so you know they're just projecting. Oh yeah, I'm sure my death will be fine. You know, it'll be perfectly fine, and it won't ruin my life. I'll still have had a great life, even if I have the shittiest death ever. You know, because they all think they're going to evade it. It's all they're going to get lucky, and you know, people just live on this notion of luck. And there's just no, like I said, so it's always stupid. And then the point is where do you move from stupid to cruel? You know, what's, you know, how's that line work? Because you almost say you have to be stupid to be cruel, but there's clearly people who are clever and cruel. You know, so I guess you have to just use some other word for, you know, scheming intelligence versus, some sense of enlightenment or intelligence regarding the reality of our circumstance here on Earth, what it is to be a bug, you know, and to live a bug's life, you know, with this extra brain. You know, we're just bugs with a bigger computer, but there's nothing to do with it. You know, there's nothing to do but feed the bug. You know, that's all we have is a bug to feed, an ape, an animal. You know, so we have this silly intelligence, you know, navigating a silly world where, you know, we'll, you know, dress up and beep, 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 and prance around and whatever, and pretend that we're winning. You know. It's just, it's, yeah. People should find it humiliating to be human. And have, no sense that it would be a great idea to make another one just to humiliate itself, being a slave to nonsense and rubbish and garbage. So anyway, this really doesn't get to the subject, which is, there's all of the reproduction, most of it, the significant percentage of it, the vast majority of it is taking place because of just blind, reckless, ignorance morons. It's just morons. They aren't doing any thinking. It's not a philosophical subject. They gave it no consideration whatsoever. It's just something you do because nature says so, or mommy says so, or it's what everybody else is doing. I don't know. I can't really imagine how they evade just recognizing the expense of it having some sense of responsibility. See, that's the part that really has to be missing, is they just don't empathize with their kids' fate at all. They're not even thinking about it as a fate, as a destiny. Because if you did think about it, then you'd think about all the stuff you're going to have to worry about. When do you let the kid cut the grass? When do you give the kid the car keys? I mean, all this... all these and just so, very, very difficult circumstances where you're opening a door that has some nasty things in it, and you're just going to have to be lucky that one of them ain't out tonight, that the bears are in the other neighborhood and they're not coming for your kid tonight. But I don't know how, doesn't take much thought to just start getting into all of those questions about why I wouldn't want this job of molding a human being, because everything you do can turn into shit so easy. There's no way to paint with this material. It bleeds everywhere. It's sloppy. It's you can't put it in a place and have it come out the way you designed it. I mean, it's a crooked cue stick. It's a crooked paintbrush. It's all crooked. There's no control. It's going to be nothing but finger painting. You'll never be able to construct something on purpose. And all you can hope is that your sloppy finger painting, which isn't going to be much more than you just blowing your nose on the canvas, is somehow going to turn out to be magnificent. And it's just going to be luck. Nothing else. And the odds of luck producing it aren't very good. And that's why most people suck. Anyway, most people's lives are less than desirous. I don't spend any of my life saying, "Oh, I just wish I had their life." that don't happen ever, frankly. So, pause. Alright, so I was thinking just about the fact that, so I never had to be convinced, that life was not a real playable or winnable game, okay? So I knew that before I knew a whole bunch of philosophical context that would make that easier to draw that conclusion. So I'd have to say that I was, as soon as I heard about evolution, I found it a compellingly convincing alternative theory. So, what am I going to say? 5 or 6 years old, I was pretty certain that, yes, there was no Santa Claus, and there wasn't any God either, and there wasn't any aliens who made us, and there wasn't anything intelligent who made the world, because it has all of this cruelty in it, and something smart wouldn't allow cruelty. It just wouldn't allow, it wouldn't allow stuff to get run over in the street. It wouldn't allow all of the unnecessary harms to take place. So nothing intelligent could have anything to do with it. So I knew I was just part of this bug system where we're poofed into being here and obliged to live some sort of life and then thrown into the ground to turn into decomposed goo. And so I remember 6 years old burying my pet lizard, and you know that the neighbors killed as a favor, you know. They thought it was a pest. It sat on our, you know, we had one of those open garages, and it sat on the cement for like 2 years. Every day, I fed it. And why would they kill it, you fucking morons? But again, you know, you could argue, well, that's probably okay, because it would have gotten old and died anyway. So I was doomed, you know, to have this experience of losing my friend. And at least I didn't have to watch him slowly get destroyed. I didn't have to worry while he was sick or something, or barely half alive. I didn't have to do any of that. So in some ways, I guess I was spared a lot of grief. But isn't that a silly thing to say, right? It's silly. It's such a backward compliment. You know, it's just ridiculous that I should be grateful for an expedient murder. But anyway, but it is a fact. It just is a fact that that's the way it works. People who die in plane crashes are often lucky, because they've really did, you know, they were done a favor, because what was going to happen to them wasn't going to be too fucking goddamn good. You know, they were going to die a lot harder and nastier. And anyway, so I can't say I had a thought like that, is what I'm saying. So those kind of thoughts, you know, big picture kind of thoughts, I hadn't gotten to yet. But I certainly had gotten to the thoughts of, what the fuck am I doing here? Because I really couldn't see I couldn't find the fitting in thing. I mean, I couldn't find the role I'm supposed to play. And it didn't seem like much hope of me gaining what I wanted and, you know, what I imagined to be a good life. Because as it was explained to me, you had to go through all this stuff to get there. And part of it involved school. I hated that. Absolutely hated school. And so that was, you know, right there, I was already in big trouble, you know, because the place you're going to go to get the skills you need to be able to manipulate the world and squeeze resources out of it so you can buy yourself a junkyard. I mean, that was my ambition. You know, it just really appealed to me. Oh, all that stuff, you know, just all this broken stuff to fix. Yeah. It just appealed to me, the whole idea of making machines and putting things to, putting cars on top of truck frames and truck frames on top, you know, doing all that kind of crap just appealed to me as a kid. Seemed like a great business for me to be in. But anyway, sort of a sidetrack. So yeah, I never had ambitions like being a doctor or something. I mean, I knew that was a good thing to do, but I knew I'm not going to do hanging around sick people. I'm not doing that. I winced, you know, watching people suffer. It bothered me. I'm looking for a way to leave the room. So I knew that wasn't my future. Couldn't be a gunfighter. I mean, what are you going to do with your existence? I have to say, sort of, for a little short period, I might have thought about being a firefighter just because I did have a fascination with fire, and I loved dancing with it, so to speak, you know, playing with the power of it. Electricity did also had some interest in, but I really, you know, all the it didn't seem like a real profession. It was so scattered, so you didn't think about any particular kind of job. Like, I knew I didn't, you know, climbing ladders all day didn't seem like a very great idea, so that didn't appeal to me much. But, you know, anyway, so I'm just saying, just finding, you know, at 6 years old, I was already seeing this as, oh, shit. You know, you got to make all these decisions. Your whole fate's going to be decided, and, you know, what's realistic? And, you know, that's the part that we're all kind of just fell apart. And it just seemed I was more destined to be homeless and than anything else. I kind of had the thought of it would just be simpler if I could just be considered an animal and just put me in a zoo somewhere. You know, give me my three meals and a, you know, a bush to sleep on. You know, that's okay. Because I just didn't feel any connection to culture and role playing. Just didn't, you know. So, I mean, yeah. So I really, you know, these are just little anecdotal stories that are popping into my head. And, you know, I don't know how much value that has. I'm just saying that I was already very pessimistic, okay, very anti-life. I certainly wouldn't impose it on anybody else because I wasn't having much fun doing it. It seemed most of it was just chores. Everything was a chore. So I remember, you know, there was a little girl next door. She sort of liked me. And so she liked playing house, you know, and they had a whole porch with an easy bake oven and the whole, all that bullshit. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, you're just saying, kill me now. I don't want to do, you know, I mean, just even getting a taste of the domestication, you know, just an idea that this is what your life is going to be, is wash your hands and do this and do all this little, you know, role playing, and it just looked like it was just role playing, you know. It had nothing to do with living. So yeah, to me it was no. Can't do that either. If that's what marriage is, I'm never getting married, right? That's kind of, you know. So I already knew back then, you know, that I, you know, what do I want to get married for? So, I mean, I didn't know that, you know, the whole chick thing was kind of important. But, yeah, the whole living that kind of life thing, no. So, yeah, all that had to be kind of modified. So I guess that's part of the reason why I ended up alone, was that I was kind of expecting or sort of demanding more from a relationship than just, you know, sex. I was just kind of had this idea that you really have to find somebody where you both enjoy doing the same things, you know, besides just having sex. You know, there is, you got to do that whole living thing. And so you have to have like the same job or the same something. You have to have something really that ties you together and, you know, makes being with each other meaningful. And that was, you know, pretty much impossible to find, because, yeah, you know, the whole Venus Mars thing, you know, they're just, you know, women, just there aren't too many. It's the rare to find one who you know, that is got any kind of interest that I could call common with my own. So, you know, most of this conversation stuff or debate stuff, and you're saying, well, what is there? There's nothing for me to debate, just because it's clear to me that my life was not some gift. It wasn't some free ride. It wasn't some oh, it'll all be so easy, and oh, it'll all work out just fine, and all that kind of crap. And that's even before, later, around 12 or 13, I started acquiring an anxiety disorder, and it really got bad. So, it just. So I was already, if somebody had, if there was some place where you just went and said, okay, I'm ready to die, I would have gone and died, okay? Because I was already in perfectly satisfied with saying, this isn't for me, okay? Definitely, this is not working out. And I'd rather not play. And so if you can get me out of here without causing me pain or stress, sure, I'll leave. So if I was offered that option, I would have taken it at 6 years old. And certainly I would have taken it at 7 and 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, because it all looked like more work than the hope for anything called an accomplishment. And then, the whole middle part of my life was just getting through it, just surviving poverty and isolation. And and then I started doing this thing, talking and trying to convince people of something. And in spite of my failure, it seemed compelling enough, to be a project worth doing, and some way to reclimate what has been a wasted existence in some ways, well, in every way. And so yeah, so I almost it's I have more purpose, more sense of need to exist now than I had at any point in my life. And but unfortunately, I'm it's getting time to just gracefully exit before things really start deteriorating, before disaster shows up, because it's knocking the door, so to speak. And so that is kind of a strange, because I don't know, if somebody gave me the choice to die tomorrow. Now I have stuff I gotta finish. So no, I don't think so. So if I could get an easy, graceful exit in a year from now, maybe that I would take, because I'd have a year to get everything cleaned up and finished up. Something like that. but that's a subject in and of itself. I was almost thinking I would talk about that in this video. Would have been on that subject of, just the fact that, okay, this antinatalism thing, or effolism, this idea that life is poison pill kind of thing. It's there's too much negative. It's too, there's just too much bad to accept it as a something you buy. It's too broken. It's too short of sufficiently efficient. It costs too much. Too many bored dead. Too much wasted grief, horror, pain, suffering. Too many broken hearts. Too many this. Too many of that. It's just too expensive. And where was I going? Yeah. So it's too expensive. But there's other subjects where you're just saying, people can't realize that that's the truth, okay? That it's too risky to have kids. There's too much downside danger. And you're just investing in luck, and you shouldn't be doing that with somebody else's welfare. You think you're going to be lucky. That's just gambling with somebody else's money. And frankly, we have laws against that. But there's these other subjects where you're just saying, well, this, at minimum, we should be able to convince people that we shouldn't have to live by their silly notions of the truth, you know, because they think there's a God. I shouldn't have to live as if there was one. That's your problem. You think there's a God and you think you'll be offended if I commit suicide? Well, that's your problem. You shouldn't be able to impose on me and tell me I have to believe in your nonsense and your fables and your you know, childish notions. And, you know, that's just another part of the imposition and arrogance, you know, that there are all these people who think they have the right to tell me what life is, what my life is, okay, and what it means, and what I should be allowed to do with it. And that's just so obnoxious. And, you know, that should be a winnable argument, that you shouldn't be able to tell anybody, you know, that they have some obligation to think their existence is somehow mandatory. That they must. No, they mustn't. Now, maybe you could say, you could have a standard and say, well, they at least have to make some sort of reasoned argument. They have to at least say, I find it repugnant and painful to be alive. Well, that should be enough. Why should I tell somebody their pain is worth it? That's ridiculous. Who am I to tell them? You know, that kind of thing. You know, but they don't even do that. I mean, the very idea that that somebody who wants to die needs to live. You know, those two things can't exist inside of them, really. They can't be compatible notions. If you don't desire it, then you don't need it. You know, you can't need what you don't desire. Too ridiculous. So it shouldn't matter if they're 5 years old or 500 or whatever. It shouldn't matter. It's just obnoxiously rude and arrogant and trespassy to be telling other people that they have to believe in your Santa Claus. They have to invest in Santa Claus stock. You know, they have to, you know, send money to Santa. Yeah, no. That's just obnoxious. All right. Take another pause and see if we can finish up in some form. All right. So somewhere in this video, the subject kind of was a debate over... All right, the fact that it's an imposition isn't really debatable. Now, the question, ignorance or cruel? And it really is like, okay, you'll say that 70% of the babies born, it's just ignorant. They just haven't spent any time thinking. They're just reckless slobs. And everybody, okay, who can do any amount of reasoning should be able to say that ain't supposed to make babies. You don't make babies in that environment, okay? So ignorance should never be why you're having a kid, okay? And then you get to the ones who are having kids and they have thought about it and they are doing it deliberately and it's not just an accident. And, you know, they actually have thought about, well, yeah, I have more than $10 in the bank. And they think that's all they need is more than $10 in the bank. Because that's cruel. I mean, if you're smart enough to know you need to have $10 in the bank, and if you're smart enough to know that I gotta get a child safety seat and I have to do the, you know, if you're smart enough to know those things, you're smart enough to know that your kid could die of cancer at 7 years old. You're smart enough to know that that's not worth, that fate isn't worth risking for whatever it is you think you're going to gain, which is impossible for me to imagine. So even if you wanted to have sex with your kids, like that's why you're having them, is because you want to sexually exploit them, I still can't imagine how you could justify the price that will be paid, you'll pay, if they die of cancer. So is it stupid or is it cruel? That's the only thing, that's a subject worth debating, like who falls into what category. So I guess I would just say that anybody smart who has kids is just cruel. They're sadists, they're sickos, because you got to be an imbecile to take that chance. I mean, if there was a 1 in a million chance, you had a peanut, and there was a 1 in a million chance that the peanut had botulism, would you still give it to your neighbor's kid? I don't think so. So what is this about, really? This having kids. Why is it so necessary? No. What are you getting out of it? What could you possibly be trying to squeeze out of this idea that you're going to create human beings for which you have very little control over their fate? Because as you've proven in your own life, you have very little control over your own fucking fate. And your own fucking psychology. You have all kinds of hang-ups and problems and issues. So why are you pretending you have some power to protect your child? It's ridiculously unrealistic. It's so unrealistic, that's why it has to be cruel. They have to be sadistic assholes. Because it's just too unrealistic to think they can be smart enough to know all of these things, about, I have to use reverse psychology, but I never want to beat my child, and I never want to do this, and I never... They can know all that, but why are they having the kid in the first place? It's not because the kid needs to exist, that's for damn sure. There's nobody screaming in a jail cell that you're going to go rescue. Okay, they're not on Starvation Mountain, and you're going to go up there and save them with some food. Nothing like that's going to take place. So what the fuck are you doing it for? Some sort of personal ego problem? You need a distraction, and you're going to use another living creature as the distraction? So that's what pets are for a lot of people. They're just servants, to the fact that people need a routine, There was a picture of Santino. Oh, and there was Alfred. You can see Santino's little paw there. These are all accidental friends of mine. And again, it's always sad and tragic, and the pain of the loss is, even as just something you remember, it's there's always just this sullenness that you're left with. And as much as you enjoyed their company and had plenty of good moments, you just can't get rid of that sullen acknowledgement of their tragic end. Why would I impose that on somebody? That poor cat went blind. Oh, you can't see him. He's behind me. But he went blind. Terrible. Ah, there's Santino again. Alright, well, anyway. Enough of a video. How do you even have the argument? What's the argument about? I mean, most people who argue against me, they're just arguing against me. They're really not arguing against anything real that I've talked about. So they'll bring up some reference to something I said 15 years ago about, purple frogs, and say, there, this is the most important subject in the universe. He talked once about purple frogs. And, certainly not a subject of my agenda. I don't have any, no desire to influence anyone on the subject. I just voiced an opinion that I think purple frogs are way overrated. And they'll take that to mean something and play with it for 15 years. it's just ridiculous. So it's usually, just about me. It's not the subject is, are we bugs that have just bigger brains, and most of our brains are being used just to play bug games? Who can jump the highest? They're just bug games. So we've got a big brain, we can do this big thinking, and what's most of the thinking devoted to? Scheming solutions to bug problems. That's it. That's the life on Earth for human beings. Is pretending being a bug is in itself an accomplishment. It's some great thing to be. Some creature that just ekes through existence, parasitically consuming. It's, stuff that has no less integrity as a living thing. Pointless, silly, futile, cruel. So if you're going to have a smart kid, you'd have to be cruel, because that's really a doom, right? Intelligence can only doom you to sullen dissatisfaction, because you're going to see how expensive it is. And you're going to know the price was too high for everything, for anything. Every indulgence, every comfort you have, too expensive. Just a fact. So anyway, enough said, I think, now. And so, till the next time and such, when I will say something else. In some other way that may or may not be any more or less effective than this was. Again, it's, there's no audience because, yes, I'm not internationally famous yet. But I suppose when I eventually am, there will be a point where, yes, everybody's going to have to say, well, you got to pay attention to that guy because, yeah, he was smarter than everybody else because he knew that 4 pounds dropped 1 foot. Isn't the same as 1 pound drop 4 feet. Yeah, he figured that out. He knew it didn't take 25 times the fuel to go 5 times faster. Yeah, Einstein couldn't figure that out. It really is, the physics stuff is just so funny because it's so bad. I mean, the science is such rubbish. And the more you dig, the more you scratch at it, the more ludicrous and silly it is, the silly conclusions they drew from, easily understood experiments and easily understood variables causing effects. I mean, it was really easy to see that it was a groundhog that dug a hole and dug under the ground and ate the roots of your plants. It's really easy to dissect it, and it wasn't fucking gremlins. And it wasn't pixies, and it wasn't hobgoblins, and it wasn't, it's just, the science is so bad. And it's just another religion. It's just, again, people just can't stand recognizing the truth. That the truth is just so, they just keep running from it. And for all these, the irony of the physicists who are all atheists, and they're just making a new religion of silly uncertainty. The quantum bullshit. Anyway, I know some people just hate that subject, but frankly, it's the it's the one that's gonna, that's the subject that's gonna make this video get a billion views, is the fact that eventually it's just going to have to be acknowledged that, boy, smart people aren't that smart. The people who have been telling us how smart they are and pretending to be smart really weren't very smart. So anyway, I mean, really, they actually believe 25 times the fuel to spin a motor 5 times as fast. They think that's actually the truth. It's just so funny. They believe it. Fuck. I mean, Einstein didn't think about it. So, you know, I don't know how he could miss it. It's just so obviously silly to say it. 25 times the fuel to go 5 times as fast. It's silly to say it. And they all just kept riding, you know, a cart with square wheels. All right, anyway, just, you know, I'm just saying, it's just so ridiculous. I mean, the more it runs through my head, it just runs through my head, and I'm saying, how is it possible? How could anybody be dumb enough to think it takes 25 times the fuel to spin something 5 times faster? How could anyone be that fucking stupid? I mean, how long do you have to live on Earth to know that isn't how it works? Shit. Anyway, till next time and such and so forth and whatnot.